Welcome to the Tom Nelson podcast. I am here with Lois Perry of Car 26. And Lois, could you kick this off by telling us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Lois Jasmine Perry. If you include my confirmation name, that's Lois Jasmine Elizabeth Perry for the Queen and for Elizabeth I. I run an organization called Car 26, which stands for Climate Analysis Reason. The 26 is just a Mickey take from last year to do with COP26. And we are the UK's leading climate realist, climate skeptic group. There isn't really any others. There are some competitors, not competitors, but friends, but they're not quite as extreme as we are. I've worked in media my entire life. I started working at a national newspaper called Daily Telegraph when I was 18 years old. I've run a very successful PR company for the last 18 years with my husband, who's now my ex-husband. And I have been a regular contributor on television and radio for about 17 years as well. Although since I've been doing this, it's gone. So that's good. Yeah. So okay. I was on television twice last night. So on two different channels. So I think the British public is getting sick of the sight of me, but that's me.
Okay, and when you are on TV, is it Talk TV and Great Britain News, or over here in the US?
GB News. Talk TV. I have been a regular on Channel 5 and the BBC, although not so much the BBC since I started Car 26. I'm not so much flavour of the month anymore. The BBC made a decision some time ago to not allow any views that challenge the whole climate narrative that human beings were responsible for global warming. So that, you know, I'm not that welcome on the BBC, but I used to be on it all the time. There you go.
I mean, are you allowed at all on the BBC right now to come on and say anything that's skeptical of?
They've asked me on a couple of times, but they won't do it live. And I've been told by the people that know about these things that they'll edit it and they'll make you look like an absolute moron. So I'm happy to go on if it's live, but otherwise, no. And it's interesting because both times, actually, they've said yes. And then the producer has gone away. The lowly producer has gone to the top producer, who's gone to the person above him. And then suddenly, we won't do it live. In fact, though, I have one young guy who hadn't been with the BBC very long. And we'd done some polling that showed that, and this was at the time of COP26, so it's probably, well, I know it's much higher now, but we did some YouGov polling, which made the front cover of national newspapers in the UK, which showed that 58% of those that expressed an opinion, this is after all this propaganda, wanted a referendum in the UK on net zero policies, yeah? But anyway, obviously, this is a story. The BBC wanted to cover it. They invited me on. I said, I'll do it if it's live. They agreed. The guy went off and was told, no, we're not having Edward, no. And he wrote me an email. Now, I didn't want to get him into trouble, but he wrote me an email. And he was dismayed because he obviously joined the BBC thinking, this is great. You know, I'm with the main broadcaster and freedom and, you know, the whole George Orwell stuff. And of course, it's the complete opposite. To quote Orwell, it's doublethink, you know, and propaganda, unfortunately, which is very sad for me because I used to love the BBC, like really love the BBC, get quite emotional about the BBC. And now I know that it's like a communist apparatus. So I feel a bit let down by that, actually.
Interesting.
Never mind.
Very interesting. I just became aware over here of Great Britain News or GB News and Talk TV. Are they relatively new? Or I'm loving that they're having skeptics on there.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, yeah, Talk TV is obviously owned by the wonderful Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox and Sky News Australia. And it's very interesting because we've got Sky News in this country, which has been bought out by another company and is very pro net zero and everything. And if you actually look at the difference between Sky News Australia, Talk TV, obviously Fox in the US, the difference is extraordinary in terms of giving, not just giving time to climate skeptics, but actually, you know, fully challenging the whole narrative because it needs to be challenged because it's nonsense. And, you know, there's a massive agenda and everybody needs to know there is, especially young people.
Yes.
Because young people are naturally rebels, right? So the rebellion up until now has been, oh, you know, that the government, they're all very pro big oil and all of that. Well, actually, that's not the case anymore. You know, like, we've got an international consensus of all these woke lapdog governments going into the whole net zero stuff, you know. So the real rebellion, and I think that there will be an awakening, is when young people think, hang on a minute, we've been duped here, you know, because they've got less to lose. They're not going to lose funding, they're not going to lose grants, they're not going to lose anything. When they realize they've been duped, that's when it's going to go. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I think the collapse is coming. I just don't know how long it's going to take. Like, I was just talking, Richard Lindzen was on my podcast yesterday, and he said he's been watching this for 30 years, and he thought that it was going to collapse a lot sooner. But I think really we might be close to the end now. What do you think?
I do, because I think they've gone too far. I mean, the war in the Ukraine, I'm not going to comment on that, but it's created a narrative whereby they can blame everything on the war in Ukraine for energy prices and cost of living escalation. But you and I know that way before this whole thing, the war started, energy prices were going through the roof, absolutely going through the roof. So it's an inconvenient truth. It's because it's a lie.
It is
a lie. It's absolutely nothing to do with the war in the Ukraine. Having said that, it is a gift to President Putin that we're so energy, we are not energy sufficient in terms of our own national energy supply, because he could just turn the taps off. And hey, guess what? That's what he's done. What a surprise. But then the skeptical part of me thinks, well, they knew he'd do that, didn't they? So, is it intentional? Who knows? I don't want to go down any rabbit holes, but there's a very big game being played at the moment. And the more people that are awake to it, the better. But I do, in answer to your question, I do think people are waking up. I really do. And one of the big reasons for that is the price of energy.
Yes,
yeah. I mean, in this country, they were talking about, you know, the price going up to 10 grand a year. People haven't got 10 grand a year spare. You know, right. I mean, how could the price go up? Now it's been capped at 2.5 grand. Like, you know, we're having a massive favor going for us. Well, that's still, you know, a lot. That's a big chunk of your income each month. Mm-hmm. You know, we're supposed to be grateful about that. So, yeah, there is definitely awakening. And as you say, with GB News and Talk TV, they are relative. Talk radio has been going for quite a while, actually, but they rebranded as Talk TV in the last year. And GB News has been going, just over a year, although it seems longer. And I'm on it all the time. So, and I love Talk TV and GB News, even though they're supposed to be rivals. So, but yeah, they are giving a voice to people that have got different opinions. And I do like to think that my organisation has got something to do with that, because we were the first organisation, literally the first, to say we don't believe CO2. It's causing and making any impact on warming, climate change, whatever you want to call it. In actual fact, it's the staff of life after water or combined, you know, and it's all absolute rubbish. And we gave a little bit of bravery to some of our colleagues, actually, who were a bit like, you know. So, we were the catalyst, like in a gun, you know. You have the little tiny thing that's the catalyst, and then it sets off the big explosion. That was us. And we've done that on a millionth of the income of what all the other climate organisations have got. So, but we're very, very, very happy to receive funding if anyone wants to give us any money.
Fantastic. No, I love the fact that your organization is all about straight talk, it seems like. You don't have to pussyfoot around. You defend CO2. You're not saying, we don't like the exact solution. You're just saying CO2 is great. I think you're not afraid of warming. Warming is good for mankind. Am I correct?
Absolutely. We've had Roman warming periods. We've had medieval warming periods. Mm-hmm. 3,000 years ago, which is seen as the birth of civilization, and, you know, and our most recent time, you know, history, it really starts about 3,000 years ago, doesn't it? Recorded history was a warming period. And there's a reason for that. Because when you're cold, you can't really do that much. You know, so we have been here before, and it's cyclic. It's a scam. The whole thing is a scam. And yeah, we're not afraid to say it. And can I just say something? Using that word denier about the climate, that is so disrespectful.
Because it is.
connotations to the Holocaust. It really, really makes me angry, that, actually.
Is there a word you like to be applied to skeptics? Do you like climate realist, or what do you like?
Yeah, climate realist, climate skeptic, that's fine. But climate denier, I am not denying that the climate is changing. I just don't think it's got anything to do with human beings. And anyone who's got half a brain cell and isn't involved in this communist nightmare agrees with me.
Right, right.
But kids have been brainwashed. We need to unbrainwash the kids. That's what we need to do.
58% of people in a poll wanted a referendum on net zero. I think that's huge, huge.
Yes, yeah. And that was in October last year. That's okay. When I launched COP26. So, you know, I haven't been off the book since, saying exactly what I'm saying to you. So hopefully that would be very, very much higher now. But we did some other polling with YouGov recently, which showed that 70% of the Republican equivalent Conservative Party in this country, their voters wanted a pause and a scrap, basically, and a review of net zero. That's 70%. So when they were doing the Conservative Party leadership contest, which meant that whoever won would become prime minister, you know, we did this polling so that she would be aware, and she did win in the end. And she's just, I'll go into this in a minute, but she's just approved fracking in the UK, and that's a big win for us. So we did some polling saying that 70% wanted a pause, scrap, review, whatever. But funnily enough, 52% of all voters wanted it too. Now, that really surprised us. And that's the same as the Brexit referendum, 52-48. Good friend of mine, Nigel Farage, I was on his show when we gave him the exclusive with the polling, and he said, they're my numbers. That's 52-48. I said, yeah, it is. But yeah, so the British public they're getting skeptical, and there's nothing that makes you more skeptical than whether you're going to put your heating on or eat food. I mean, you think, hang on a minute, let's look at this science now. You know, the green agenda is okay if it's a period of prosperity. But even then, it's a load of rubbish, isn't it? Sorry, I nearly said something else then.
You can say whatever you want.
I know, I'm not going to swear. I like to try and be ladylike.
Fantastic. You
know, try and make a slight effort.
Is there any chance that there actually would be a referendum? Is that a thing that could happen or no, on net zero?
Well, I don't. The thing is, Liz Truss has just become prime minister, and she has to traverse a fine line. You know, on the one hand, you've got all the sort of big government, international governments, and the UN and all of the WEF, but a lot of pressure. She has to say, oh, we believe in net zero. But what she's also saying is, we need to look at how it impacts on people and business. We need to look at energy security. So she's saying the right stuff for them, but then my understanding from people that know her is that she thinks net zero is a load of rubbish, basically.
That's good
but
news.
That might be completely wrong. But she's, she put it this way, she's certainly not a fanatic. So Boris Johnson, it was my polling was actually put to the former Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, at COP26, which is quite cool, actually. And he said, the last thing the British probably need is a referendum and all of this. But actually, you know, he had to address it. But so in answer to your question, at the moment, I don't think it would become an issue because it looks like this trust does care about people and she's not fanatical. So she's saying she believes in net zero, but she's not trying to bankrupt us and make us all go back to mud huts and stuff. You know,
yeah, so it is pretty clear. It's pretty clear, isn't it, that if you were to go all in on net zero long enough, it would destroy the country. Would it absolutely destroy the country? I think it would.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it would be, people say, oh, it takes us back to the dark ages. It'd be much worse than that. At least they had horses and they were allowed to farm. This whole thing is about us not farming, not having any transport. They'd say that horses emitted carbon, wouldn't they? And then what will happen is, oh, you know, humans emit CO2 as well. Well, let's do a big cull on them as well. We've got a guy called Sir David Attenborough, who is seen as this sort of cuddly granddad, eco granddad and everything. He wants 90% of the world's population killed. Now, I'm not sure what standards most people set for a cuddly granddad. But But that is not my idea of a cuddly granddad, somebody who wants to kill 90% of the world's people. But I mean, and they cancelled a naturalist called David Bellamy, who was lovely. And I grew up watching him. He was on the BBC and he's lovely. And he said CO2 is not responsible for any kind of global war. It's ridiculous. Cancelled.
Interesting. So,
yeah.
So it would destroy the country. And then the benefit or the payoff is nothing, right? In terms of global average temperature in 2050, no measurable change. Do you agree with that?
It doesn't make any difference on the temperature. And so what if it's a little bit hotter? So what? I mean, people fly to different countries to be warmer. And then they're moaning that it's going to be like 0.1 degrees. So what? Yeah. this is the whole crux of the argument, is it's going to be a little bit warmer. And then they say, oh, you know, we've got all these catastrophes, we've got like hurricanes. You know, no, we haven't. When you actually look at the actual data, the deaths from weather events and things like that are down absolutely massively all through the graphs. So, and there aren't any more. It's rubbish, absolute rubbish. But I want young people to hook onto this, because as soon as they do and they realise they've been scammed, my teenage son, if he realises he's been duped, they say hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And that is true, actually. I know that's your personal experience. I am not a good woman scorned. I don't know why I mentioned that. But anyway, but hell hath no fury like a teenager that knows they've been tricked. And right. And that's coming. I'm sure that's coming.
Yeah, they have to figure it out. They've been brainwashed or whatever from, I don't know, from what age, under 10 or whatever. At some point, they have to realize that bad weather is not evidence that CO2 causes bad weather. Yeah, I really hope they haven't
had any alternative arguments, you know. But as soon as they do, and more and more young people are watching GB News, they're watching Talk TV. I mean, it shows you that we're making an impact, because Rupert Murdoch's building in London, News UK, they had, maybe because they have me on, Ricky, I don't know. But anyway, so all these climate protesters went down there, and they're so organized, which shows you they're being funded by some people with some serious cash, or dough, as we'd say here. And they went down to the News UK buildings, and it was so strategic. They jumped out of a van, they had drills, they had you know, the things that the people have to break with, that thing that glaziers have, and they had ladders, and they started knocking very specific points on the glass outside. And they smashed the whole of the glass. They knew exactly what they were doing. I think they must have been glaziers, actually. And all of it shattered, the front of the News UK building. And then they put something up like, no climate deniers on your station, or something like that, you know, posters and all of that. So, sorry about that.
Did they? Were they allowed?
Send me a bill.
Were they allowed to do that, though? Were a guard standing by letting them do that? Or what is happening?
Do you know what I think? They did it in a flash mob type way, because they're so structured and so organized. I think that people just didn't literally have time to even think. I mean, they called the police took them away, but they'd done it by then. It was so quick. It's like the most recent thing with the milk. So that a big part of this agenda is destroying farming, agriculture, dairy, all of that. I was talking about that last night, actually. And, you know, again, very strategic, very organized. They jumped out of their van, these people, they had drills. They went to a distribution area where all the trucks were that take the milk to all the different shops, supermarkets and everything. They just drilled holes in all of the big tires on the trucks, and they stopped all the milk being delivered. You know, we've had people go into very posh stores in London, high-end stores, just tipping milk on the ground. Police are getting a little bit more hands-on now. I mean, the Queen's funeral, and good for them. I'm totally in agreement with them. If anyone even put one foot out of line, there's about 400 coppers on top of them. Okay. They need to be a bit more like that with the Extinction Rebellion lot, which are all funded by, you know, NGOs and big, big, big money. There's no grassroots there. It's all very, very well organised, very well organised.
I was going to ask you about this case. It might have been 2 or 3 years ago now, when there was a commuter train, and there were some climate cultists that were trying to stop it. And some ordinary people went up and dragged them off the train so that they could get to work. Do you remember any details about that one?
I don't know any details about it, but I did hear about it. Yeah, good, good. But I love the French. I mean, the French don't have any, the normal French people, not the president who's totally in bed with them all. But the normal French people, somebody tried, there was these climate protesters who glued their hands to the road, and not ordinary members of the public and the French police, they just pulled their hands up. And the skin was stuck to the road. That's the way you deal with these idiots. You just, I bet they haven't done it again. I bet that was the last time they did that.
Okay. All right. So I have another lingering question from 10 minutes ago. How do you explain the difference between Sky News Australia? I see them being nice and skeptical. And then Sky News is totally different over in Britain. Why?
Murdoch still owns Sky News Australia. And he sold Sky News UK.
That's
so I can only think that's part of the difference. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm loving what I'm seeing out of them in Australia. They're doing a lot of laughing.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they? They interviewed me because I went to COP26 last year, and I don't know if you know about this, but I quite famously got thrown out. I was doing Talk TV and with a fantastic presenter called Mike Graham.
Okay.
And anyway, so I managed to get through contacts of mine, sneak myself into COP26. Anyway, so I went to the media area and someone clocked who I was. And then suddenly I was like, oh, I saw two security guards come from that way and somebody else come from that way. They were coming towards me. I was about to go live. I thought, I'm not missing this interview. So I ran, right? And I ran and I locked myself in the disabled toilet. And I did the interview from the disabled toilet on my iPhone. I said, I'm so sorry, Mike, this is, but he thought it was great. It's been shared so many times. If you go on YouTube, you can actually see me doing an interview from the disabled toilet of COP26 with guards banging on the door. But when I finished, I walked out and I just had my head held high and I went, I don't want to be here anyway.
Really? So what was your crime? Just being skeptical or whatever happened to freedom of the press?
Freedom of the press. They're not interested in freedom of the press. I tell you what, COP26 was the biggest gravy train I've ever seen. Everyone there was at the trough. I genuinely don't think that anyone who's there who's got half a brain actually believes any of this stuff, because they can't, can they? Because the science just doesn't back it up.
Yeah, I'm curious what's going on in their heads. They don't money. It's all money. Okay.
All money. Yeah. Oh, I'm all right, Jack. Yeah.
Okay.
But sometimes things are bigger than that, you know? I mean, with my organization, it has been seen as quite a right-wing thing to be kept skeptical about this. But actually, that's not the case. And we work with people on all sides of the spectrum. And one of the guys that we work with is a very big guy in the Labour Party, our equivalent of the Democrats. And they see that people that are going to be hit the hardest by this are the poor and the working people. I mean, call me old-fashioned, I don't think the Democrats in your country represent working class people anymore, and unfortunately, because we've been hijacked as well, the Labour Party don't represent working class people. Nobody represents working class people, well, apart from maybe the Tories a bit, which is strange, but so you know that we work with people from across the spectrum, because they see that industry, which is obviously a traditional place for blue collar jobs and high skilled working class jobs, are going to be annihilated by this policy. And of course, that's what it's all about. That's what they want. So this is big, like Brexit. You know, one of the people that has put money into my organization, he said that this is such a huge issue. A huge issue that you have to be prepared to work with absolutely everyone. This is beyond politics. So
it's got to be the way to win votes, I think, pretty soon. Win lots of votes if people are can't afford energy, etc. I think politicians that run on a skeptical platform.
Well, it's definitely why Liz Truss won the leadership election. I'm sure of it. She she made quite a lot of promises about bringing back fracking and everything, and that the moratorium was actually lifted yesterday. So we're very happy about that.
Okay.
So I've been up and down to London doing stuff, doing interviews and stuff. So yeah, that's fun.
Okay, so I did not know that, but she during the campaign she expressed skepticism of the scam or some sort of pro fossil fuel.
She's very careful actually. Yeah. She did was she said on the one hand. Said I am supportive of net zero, but then on the other hand, but we mustn't introduce net zero restrictions that impact negatively on individuals and businesses, and we must have energy security. So it's quite clever how she did it. So she couldn't have be accused of climate denial, but then she also showed that, you know, she was willing to look at it, that she didn't think that it was worth, she didn't think that it was worth destroying ordinary people's lives. Good. And the guy, Rishi Sunak, who was going for the leadership as well, wasn't saying anything like that. He was saying, I love net zero. My 8-year-old tells me what to do. He lost anyway, so that's good.
Good, good. Okay. All right. So I think you wanted to talk about your success in fracking. I'd love to hear some more details about that.
Yeah, did I give that impression to you?
Yeah. Well, I think it's great.
We did. We've been campaigning since October, and we are so happy. When we started, we had some meetings, myself and a couple of my backers, with some other people that were in our space who we respect enormously. And I'm not going to name any names, but they said, look, they said, number one, they said, don't say anything about the science. You can't question the science or you'll be. And they also said, do not talk about fracking. Fracking is a dirty word. It's been so maligned. You know, it's gone. And, you know, we went, oh, that's interesting, and totally ignored them. And that's what we did. And we've been campaigning hard since then. And actually, someone that's involved with a lot of the companies that are actually going for the fracking, although we received no money from anyone to do with fossil fuels, I just want to make that very clear. He said that a lot of them have said that Lois Perry and COP26 changed the narrative. So I'll take that.
Congratulations.
I'm very, very happy about that, because I don't care what people think of me. I care what people I love think about me, mm-hmm. people I respect. But anyone else, go on, go for it. I honestly, I don't care.
Good for you. So you said that your organization has not received any fossil fuel money, right?
No, we haven't. Yeah. We haven't. I mean, it's been my money. It's been two or three individuals who actually weren't really involved in the whole climate stuff at all. They were just libertarians, and they just saw this as that the climate stuff was being weaponized to introduce something else. And so that's why they've been supportive. But we also raise money through merchandise. You can see here.
Okay.
If you go on the car26.org website, there's, you know, sweatshirts and hoodies and stuff like that. And also, this is CO2. You can get one of him as well.
Very nice.
And the reason he's happy is because there's nothing wrong with CO2.
Excellent. There you go. Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's another way we raise money. We also get donations. So, as I say, if anyone wants to give us any money, that's good.
Excellent. Yeah, I see your website has a lot of a great list of climate books. Not all skeptic books, right? You list Greta's book and Al Gore's book, but you got a lot of
Know Thine Enemy.
Yeah. Yep. No, I bought those
That's
books.
That's what
from
I'm like.
Side.
If I go into a room and there's another blonde, I'm like, right, okay, I've clocked her.
That's your enemy. Interesting. Okay. Let's see. Where to go from here? Oh, I just wanted to bring it up. I'm looking at the email you sent me before. I love this quote from Barry Goldwater. I just wanted to read that one out. Moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue. And we agree, right? You agree at Card 26, you don't want to be moderate in going after justice.
What's the point?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's given us our USP, you know, our unique selling point. We need to be true to ourselves. This is so important. It really, really is. And so absolutely. Well, there are other people in our space who do that really well, and we really respect them. For example, the GWPF, Net Zero Watch, and other amazing organisations. But, you know, this is us, and we use a bit of humour, we're a bit irreverent, as I say, we're the detonator.
Good for you. Yeah, my theory is that life is short and we should just speak the truth as we know it and let the chips fall where they may, I think. Because like you say, it's so important. The net zero thing could hardly be more important fighting against this. It's not just a little academic debate. It affects people's lives and people are going to starve.
It isn't. And I you know, this will probably resonate more in the States than it does in the UK, but I'm Christian and I honestly feel that I am fighting the good fight. I honestly do think that, and that If I say that in the UK, everyone will go, oh, but actually, okay. it might have more impact your side of the pond than
I think
it does
so.
Over here.
Yeah.
But just going into the whole religion thing, this whole environmental green agenda. Well, it's not the environment, is it? Because I am an environmentalist,
yes.
But I don't believe in the other stuff. Mm-hmm. This whole green agenda has all of the negatives about, I'd say, medieval organized religion, but none of the positives. It really is a cult. I mean, even coming back to the whole, you know, burn the witch or
yes.
witch dunking and stuff like that. People are terrified into submission. I've watched some of your other podcasts and, you know, people talk about being canceled, being shut down, having their funding removed, their lives destroyed. How is that different to witch dunking and burning the witch? It just isn't. And then it makes people self-censor, doesn't it? So,
yeah. So you may have heard back during the Little Ice Age, they actually did burn witches because they thought the witches were causing bad weather. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah,
well, I don't
go.
Know what they would have done with me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there is this whole
well,
idea.
Well, then I probably would have, I don't know, been mistress to the king or something. So I'd probably be all right.
But anyway, we still have this idea that bad weather is caused by people that you don't like. There's people, I think, that believe
yes,
that.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, and I didn't know that. So thank you for telling me that. Absolutely. It's primeval. It's just ludicrous, mm-hmm. the whole thing, isn't it? But it's playing into people's people that aren't that have no faith. Funnily enough, are fanatical about the kind of cult.
Yep.
They have they are fanatical about it.
Absolutely.
And that includes people being shut down, cancelled, burnt, or just freezing to death in their homes, you know. Because,
right, right.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going on? Like we're seeing in Sri Lanka that people are rioting in the streets after they wouldn't let them use chemical fertilizer. Or in the Netherlands, they're trying to shut down maybe one third of the farms for this crazy nitrous oxide reason. Who is actually pushing that and why are they? It's so incredibly crazy and so terrible for the people, the farmers and anybody who eats, for example. What is going on there?
Well, he who controls food, controls everything. So, you know, it's extremely irritating to I believe quite a small group of individuals who have a certain agenda that farmers and individuals can make their own food and can produce their own food, because how can you control people if they're not hungry? So if you're taking away farmland, you're telling people not to eat meat, not to eat dairy, you can only eat this kind of food that is produced by certain companies, and this is not me being mad, because they, you know, that contains insects. We are having it pushed on us that we should eat insects like monkeys. The reason we are an evolved species is because we worked out how to create fire, which meant that we could cook meat, which meant that we could evolve, our brains could evolve, and we can become the dominant species. I tell you what, I bet the powers that be, the people that are causing all this nonsense with the farming and telling the Sri Lankans they can't use fertilizer, I bet they're not eating insects.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's about the consolidation of power, the whole thing, into the hands of probably not that many.
Do you think there is?
We mustn't let this happen.
Absolutely. Do you think there is a straight up anti-human agenda? I'm starting to actually believe that now, that there are some people who have just a straight up anti-human agenda. There's too many people, and this is a way to.
They're not hiding it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you actually look at speeches and websites of international organizations that profess to be about kindness and loving each other and all of that. Very straight that they think that the population needs to be reduced by up to 90%.
Yeah.
So you know, this isn't a conspiracy theory. This is what they're telling us.
Yeah. So,
but we must resist, because without autonomy and without liberty, no one knows that better than you guys in the US, you know.
Yeah.
Without liberty, we are nothing. And this is a libertarian issue. It is.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm thinking nobody at the top actually believes that shutting down 30% of the farms in the Netherlands will give us a great climate benefit, and everyone's going to be happy after they do that because less hurricanes and Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
There's a thing in the UK, and I imagine it's probably because everything seems to be done at an international level now since COVID. Maybe it always was, but we weren't aware. Who knows? But, you know, this whole thing about 10-minute zones. So in the UK, they're talking about, oh, you know, you don't need a car because we're going to put everything that we think you need within a 10-minute walk. Well, screw you. It's not up to you what you think that I need. I might need to go to Christian Louboutin. That's not going to be within a 10-minute walk, is it? You know, is Mac going to be within a 10-minute walk? No. So then they say, oh, we'll have it delivered to you. Well, good luck with that with an electric van if it runs out of charge. It's all nonsense. The whole thing is nonsense.
Have you seen this idea of forcing everybody to live in this one long building? I don't know if the building is miles and miles long, and it's part of the maybe part of the 10-minute thing. That way we can rewild everything else and everybody lives in this one building. And
it's going to be how kind. Yeah. Yeah. No, well, yeah, I have seen that. And then they can stick it.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think about forcing us all into electric cars as a way just to control us? And then they can just shut off our electric cars. And a lot of people are starting to say that I'm hearing that it's just a stepping stone to making sure we don't travel at all. First step is
absolutely,
to get us,
because absolutely, I totally agree with you, because the thing about electric cars is they're actually, if you believe in the whole carbon stuff, they're actually much more carbon intensive to produce, and you know you can't sell them on because the batteries run out, and then the batteries cost more than the cars, you know. It forces people off the road by stealth. The main thing that they want is that they want them to be Wi-Fi enabled. This is nothing to do with anything apart from that, because as you say, they can be remotely switched off. If they do another lockdown, you know, your car will ask you if your journey is necessary. Your car will tell you, it just won't start. You'll be locked in and it'll call the police. It's a nightmare. The whole thing is a nightmare. I've been made aware, I can't tell you how I've been made aware of this, but I've been made aware that in this country, they're going to switch electric scooters over. So you have to have a license and a number plate. And the company has been given they've been given the business to make them.
Okay.
And the main prerequisite of the design of the scooter is that it can be remotely disabled with a special gun by the police. So please do not think that the whole electric vehicle scam is anything apart from having a giant iPad, which hardly anyone can afford anyway, which can be switched off. And whether they know where you are, because if you leave your iPhone at home and you go out in a normal car, no one knows where you are. Isn't that lovely?
Is that an
old-fashioned thing?
It is.
And kids need to realize that actually it's great for no one to know where you are. When I was a kid, I didn't want anyone to know where I was. And now teenagers just think it's completely normal. And I just think, you need to just rebel a little bit more. But they're also like addicted to the phones. But having said that, I'm like that now. So there you go.
Yeah, I can't really have a go at them. Okay. And then I wanted to mention the whole thing about smart meters. I don't know if they're big in the UK where
they're trying to force people to have them, but they're really sinister, aren't they? They tell you when you can have a cup of tea and a shower. Yeah. Again, no one tells me what to do unless I like them very much.
Okay.
You know, I'm not interested in smart meters, but they're trying to, again, force them on people by stealth. If somebody's meter breaks, then they're saying they have to have a smart meter. But I've read loads of stuff about people actually having them uninstalled because when they wanted to use them, they were being told that they can't. And it's the same with plugging in your electric car. If you plug in your electric car and the grid needs it back, they will take it back.
Yeah.
And again, an electric car, I think in America a lot of people have got driveways, but in the UK it's not as much space, so you know, a lot of people don't have a driveway. Where are you going to charge the car?
I don't know.
And can't people just pull it? I've been thinking about this. Can't people just like pull it out, like, you know, like Yorbos?
I don't know how that works. I don't know.
I don't know how it works either.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to bring up was this whole central bank digital currency thing, where they can use that to keep track of your purchases. And if you want to buy an airplane ticket, they'll go, you use too much and no more flying for you this year. Don't buy too much
Jurassic
meat.
Jurassic Park, where guys, you haven't said the magic word. remember that?
I do. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, again, that's why the whole climate nonsense is brilliant, because they can use it to justify all of these authoritarian Chinese Communist Party measures. I've done a couple of interviews, actually, three interviews with Majid Nawaz, who did the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yes.
And it was massive. And he's done it twice, actually. And we were talking about how it's all completely interlinked. Oh, you know, you've had too much meat today. You've had this, you've had that. You can't do this, you can't do that.
Or you tweeted the wrong thing, right? Right?
At what Trudeau did in Canada with the truckers.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. I don't know how far away.
Just cutting off all their money. Even wasn't it the little old ladies who bought out bacon sandwiches? Even they had their bank accounts frozen. Well, if that isn't an advert for not going cashless, I don't know what is. Who would want Justin Trudeau deciding what you can and cannot do?
No, I think those incidents actually, they woke me up to this whole digital currency thing. I wasn't aware of it before that myself. So thank
you. This is what I'm saying, Tom. Uh-huh. They're slightly overplaying it. So this is why I'm taking heart. I'm thinking, okay, they're going too far too quickly, and people are going, whoa. I think we might be okay.
I hope so.
But I am an optimist.
Yeah. So I'm encouraged. I don't know how to pronounce the name of that guy you mentioned. Is it Majid?
Magic.
Yeah. So I'm encouraged. You're on his show, and then Brian Catt was on his show, right? I'm considering Brian Catt my friend now.
I love Brian.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm encouraged that all these people are talking to each other and getting some publicity. And I am seeing a lot of cause for optimism overall, I think. Yeah.
We've got to, you know, all we can have, what my great-grandmother used to say to my granddad, she said, I can't give you money, but I can give you hope.
Okay.
And that's what I'm hoping that I'm doing. In honor of her and him, I want to give people hope, because, and I do have people saying to me, oh, you know, thank you and everything. And that's so nice.
You're doing fantastic work. Okay.
Thank you. So, and you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing the best I can. Did you want to talk about something about renewables being a scam or renewable subsidies, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of questions in the last day or two in the UK about, you know, fracking, is it going to work and all of that? And is there enough gas and blah, 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 which of course there is. And my answer to that is that the fracking companies are not going to be receiving any government subsidies, and private businesses are not stupid. Yeah. So they've got a pretty good idea that there's going to be gas under there. If they put, they know there is, if they're putting the money into it. But I mean, if you look at the whole renewables scam, when you've got people that have got wind farms and they're guaranteed a set income for a set period of time, they can't lose. And then because the banks have an ESG scores, these crazy woke things they have to do, they're lending them the money, is handing over the money to them. So they can't lose on that. And then they last about 10, 20 years. They're probably insured. They're bought from China, where they're made by electricity from coal, which is a joke. And, you know, and then also the government will probably pay for them to be dismantled as well. And then guess what? You can't recycle them, because so they have to be buried in landfill. Could somebody explain to me how that is green? And also you need 100% gas backup the entire time. So that's ridiculous as well. Okay. So, you know, all this money that's been put in by the government into these renewables, it is so dodgy. It's unbelievable. And the amount of civil servants and stuff, because they're the ones that are making, because in the UK, we have a permanent civil administration. In the States, it's different, isn't it? Everything gets pulled out with each president, which is probably quite a good idea, actually. But for the continuity, because ultimately we've got the Queen, oh my God, that's so weird. The king. As head of state, we have a permanent civil service, and they are so in bed with all these renewable companies on the boards, and you know, when they retire, they're going to be making quite a few quid. But we've got lots of freedom of information requests going in, so we're going to find out who these people are and how they're making their money, because decisions are not being made in the best interest of the British people at the moment.
Okay.
The renewable subsidies are ludicrous.
So your group is filing those FOIA requests?
Yep.
Ah, I love to hear that. I'm really loving that.
Yeah. I'll come back on and I'll let you know. Yeah. I mean, a very, very good example of how dodgy it all is. Hang on, let me make sure I've got the numbers right, because this is so important. So a very good example of how the civil service, I believe, can be completely corrupt in this country and probably in every country, is when budgets have been allocated to specific projects based on how green they are, you can end up with a ridiculous situation where you're given more money for saving more CO2. So that shutting down your factory could earn you more money because it's not emitting. I mean, that's how double thing it is. It's insane. But when the allocation of funds are being agreed, what's happening at the moment is, for the saving of one ton of CO2, our current government, our civil service, is allocating that at £250 per ton.
Right.
So, which is a ludicrously high amount of money, where elsewhere, this is if you believe it all, elsewhere you can actually offset CO2 with a different company for a tenner, £10. So they're allocated £250. So we've got an FOI going in about that as well. All this money, where's it going? Because it's not coming to me. It's not coming to you, is it?
Amazing. I got a couple of things I'd like to mention. There was a Chicago Climate Exchange back, I don't know, in 2010 or something. I don't know if you go back that far in this, but they were selling these offsets for 5 US cents per ton at the end, 5 cents a ton. It just, the whole thing collapsed. It was a total farce. So they can pick any number they want.
I hope it does collapse. I actually think that a lot of this is it's just a way of banking, making money. It's about the disenfranchising of us as individuals, and it's about people, you know, you've got lots of money making even more money.
Yeah.
And we need to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else was telling me that the renewables incentives someplace in the US, they're so crazy that it made sense for them to shut down baseload power, maybe a coal-fired power plant, shut it down, and then build some solar panels or put up some renewables that don't work.
You've got guaranteed income.
Guaranteed income, but then it just totally, your reliability is gone and your grid doesn't work anymore. You got blackouts. So you're taking a
California.
Huge step backward. Yeah.
It is a huge step backward. Yeah. And as I said before, it's not even like going back to the dark ages, because one, they had religion. So, you know, they had something. Two, they had farming. And three, they had horses. So it's not even as good as that what they're trying to send us back to.
Very good. Another thing I had down here is, I think Carolyn Lucas just tweeted that renewables are 9 times cheaper than fossil fuel. Did you see that? Something, it was,
it's
crazy.
She knows it's a lie.
Does she know?
She knows it's a lie. And the thing is, I could say that anything is 9 times cheaper if I'm being subsidized. Which it is.
Okay.
It's a nonsense. And as I said before, all renewables have to be backed up with gas. I mean, the renewables they're a joke. Mm-hmm. They are a joke.
Yeah.
And they're ugly.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. Another question I had written down here is, you might have a better idea than I do, even though I'm in the U.S. Is there a fracking boom right now in the U.S.? Do you know about fracking in the U.S. at all? What's happening in the last couple of months?
Well, my understanding is that you've got 2 million wells and that they're fantastic. And because of that, you're paying an eighth for your electricity than we are.
That's
my understanding. An eighth.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you happen to know if we're doing more fracking now than we were a year ago in the U.S.? I need to look this up, because
I must admit, I'm not sure, but is what I've just said.
Okay, what a huge difference, and maybe that allows us to keep our pubs going and stuff. I don't know. I'm hearing that pubs are going to shut down. Is that a real thing in the U.K.?
With my dead body, I will literally go. If I have to do a pub crawl, which anyone that knows me knows that it won't be too much of a hardship for me to do that. to save every pub in the UK, I will. But I did an interview with Mark Stein recently, Canadian who's over here, and he's got a massive show on GB News, and the whole thing was about saving the pubs. But the government has actually brought in some plans to help businesses with their energy costs, so I'm hopeful that won't happen now.
Okay, all right. And then, by the way,
because I do like going to the pub.
Is Mark Stein over there now? I'm just curious. I'm a huge fan of him. Is he based over there?
Yeah, I think he is. Yeah.
Okay.
He's I was on his show last night, but it was being covered by somebody else. But yeah, so no, Mark is so funny. When I go onto his show, he does his opening monologue, and I have to sit next to him, be a good girl, be quiet, right? But he is so funny. And I'm like, I'm just trying to start. I mean, if you watch a few of the episodes when I'm on, a few of the shows, you'll hear so like little squeaks.
Okay.
But I'm desperately trying to control my laughter and say he is funny. But the thing is, that's wokes aren't funny. Wokes do not like humour. And if you look at all of the totalitarian dictatorships that we've had, humour is not high on the agenda of these people. They don't like it. They really don't. So humour is a good way to battle these evil, evil people who want us all dead.
They do. I agree. Thank you very much, Lois Perry. I really enjoyed this. I think we covered a lot of ground here, and hope to have you back on again sometime if you want to do that.
I'd absolutely love to come back on. And as I say, if you want to hear more about my organization, see more, get involved, get a membership pack, get a nice t-shirt, it's www.car26.org. And anything that you can do to help us with our fight against climate cultists, just small or big, is much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. And I will put those links in the show notes too, so you can find those. All right, thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.